I came in late, so we didn't get a chance to talk about what we might want to talk about. What's on your mind?
Well, why don't we start with the big news, and that was, of course, the assassination of Charlie Kirk and the response to it. I think maybe I'll just start with my column, which is kind of very much on a tangent. What I wrote my column about was how many people have watched the video of that man's final moments.
I have not, have you?
I have not. No, the point of my column is, in 2002, I made the mistake of watching the first few seconds of the decapitation of Daniel Pearl, and have never forgotten it. I mean, it hit me and it struck me in such a way, I immediately turned it off and have never watched anything like that again. But it was everywhere. I mean, if you were on social media, it was the first thing that popped up. You didn't have to choose to watch it if you didn't want to. But it was available and accessible to everybody. And I just, I understand this is a tangent. This isn't the main story.
No, that's okay.
But I just think this is so damaging to our collective mental health for everybody to have that collective trauma. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
When you witness something like that, and you are witnessing it, even I know it's not a surprise, and so it doesn't have the same impact if you're there. But I just think there's been so much research done on, and you don't need research. You just know instinctively that hardens you, that poisons you, that you watch enough of it, you grow numb to it, and you lose a little bit of your humanity, I think.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about it that way, but my initial reaction, of course, is to disagree a little.
Well, please.
First of all, I'm not sure where you draw the line between things like that and things police killing somebody wrongly, or somebody killing a policeman wrongly, or something like that. A lot of these things are important because they involve public entities,
right?
And disputed. I want to look at it, and I will. You also mentioned the hardening, which I think may be true. On the other hand, I watched, more than once because it was shown at a thing I went to recently, but the shooting of Officer Hernandez, or not shooting, but the knifing.
Right, right.
Fatal knifing of Officer Hernandez. And, it didn't harden me. It softened me to sort of feel, oh, that's horrible, and what can we do to prevent this?
I guess what I would argue is different is it wasn't in slow motion on a loop. It wasn't, it wasn't edited in such a way to make it as graphic and horrific as possible, which these were. And the best way I can remember, one of Charlie's friends said, they are showing a snuff film of one of my best friends.
I know I've seen people say that. As I say, I haven't watched it.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean that you don't, all of those things that you described, like I said, the difference is you're seeing the event in real time, and it's not up close on a loop intended to be as inflammatory and not just impactful. And, that's the difference.
Okay. What do you think, man? You want to join us?
Well, I went to the laundromat.
Yeah.
And
you have to be by mic if you're going to talk.
I gotta say,
I didn't know we were on air.
Yeah, we are.
We are. Now you are.
Now you are.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Jess.
We've invited Jess Williams came by to say hello.
I did. I was doing laundry early this morning. I heard you guys on the radio. I thought, well, those are two old friends of mine. I'll stop by and say hello. I didn't expect to go on air.
Well, you never can trust us.
So now here we are.
So what do you think about the whole Charlie Kirk and Tyler Robinson, and in particular, we were talking about a side angle of it, the fact that it's a snuff film that people are watching?
Well, I think it's disturbing that people would want to watch that. I have chosen not to. But there was video when that Las Cruces police officer was murdered. I chose not to watch that either. I just don't get it. I don't know why somebody would want to watch it. I find it disturbing that it's out there and that apparently there are no filters for that kind of content.
No, he's saying it was slow motion. Anyway, I watched the video you're referring to. I also watched the Amalia Baca shooting several times because I wanted to make my best judgment, even though I'm not a police officer, on whether, how reasonable was his shooting her in the chest, because it looks wholly unreasonable to us when we first see
it. Am I right, though? Wasn't that edited in such a way that once the shots are fired, the video ends?
Oh, I think initially what they put out on social media was, but
if you really wanted to see, if you asked
with Inspection Public,
and Records. I have sidetracked this because obviously the bigger issue here is the free speech issue, which you spent your life as a government communications, not your life, I mean your career,
part of my career, yeah.
So I assume that's something you've got an opinion on, this new attempt to the Attorney General of the United States saying that anybody who disagrees with us, that's hate speech and we're going to go after it.
That's just crazy talk.
Yeah.
In my opinion, that we do have the right to free speech and we should be able to respectfully disagree with one another, and to hold protests and to peacefully assemble. I think there's a whole First Amendment that talks to this.
I mean, I think we would absolutely all agree. Tell me if I'm wrong. I think the three of us would readily agree that you have a right to that kind of speech, that you shouldn't be killing or otherwise punishing people for unconventional speech or speech that some people don't like, because we all would have been shot or punished at some point in our youth.
For absolutely.
Things that we said.
Well, or even in our dotage.
He has every right to say what he's saying. Other people also have the right to say what they want to say about him.
Right.
And not be told, we're going to punish you for saying bad things about the dead.
Well, I'm going to paraphrase, and Walt or Peter, please correct me if I'm wrong, but there used to be an old saying that your right to free speech ends when your fist touches my nose.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Your freedom,
And so it's sort of the same thing. You're free to disagree with anybody and to make your disagreement known in a respectful manner, but you don't punch them and you don't shoot them. That's where that right rubs up against the law.
And I think it is notable that some of the strongest pushback against Pam Bondi has come from the right, where they have been arguing for years against what they see as cancel culture. And she's kind of out there on her own on this one, and rightfully so. I mean, she's just wrong.
Yeah. We concur.
Yeah.
My column, by the way, my draft column, don't send them until Thursday, but I was writing about, him and trying to be fair to, his good points and his bad points. And I think
him being Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
And then I ended up figuring the best way to do it was to write my column in the form of a description of the scene where he meets St. Peter and they discuss his entry to heaven.
Does he get in?
You'll have to read the
column. You have to read the column on Sunday, I was going to say. He's not going to give that one away, Walt.
All right. Well, that's one way to do it, I guess.
Anyway, it's I'm sure it's not meant to offend anybody, and it's meant to be fair to Charlie Kirk, whom I'm, by the way, if I ever heard of him before he was shot, I didn't remember it.
Oh, really?
No. I mean, I know he's prominent. I must have run across his name, but I saw Charlie Kirk
Turning
shot.
Point USA, have you heard of them?
Well, I've tried to figure out there was a Turning Point abortion thing.
No, no, that's a different.
That he's not connected with, as far as I can tell,
No.
You know, they got famous for lying to girls about.
And I think that was years ago.
He did an interview with Bill Maher four or five, 6 months ago. And I saw that, and it was interesting. I mean, one of the things I really like about Bill Maher is he goes after both sides, and he's a good interviewer.
As we should.
It was an interesting interview, and that was kind of the first inkling that I had of him, and so I started paying more attention. And so when this happened, of course, it was a shock to everybody.
He obviously had a lot of charisma, a lot of charm, appealed to a lot of people. He liked to debate with people,
yes.
Which is sort of how we feel on this show. I would, if I'd known him, I would have loved to invite him on the show and argue about stuff.
The only thing I didn't like about his quote-unquote debate style was his style was prove me wrong. And that's a really slippery way to start.
It is. It is. That completely puts the onus on the other person.
Yeah.
That says, okay, we're going to go into this with the default position being that I'm right.
Exactly.
And now you have all of the burden to prove that I'm not.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that's a...
But fine. I mean, okay. We're not the debating society here. It's his show.
Yeah.
So you go into it knowing that the rules are. Yeah. But that being said, it was an honorable thing. It just was. I mean, to set up a card table and a tent and go to college campuses and to debate with people who disagree with you is an honorable thing that we need to be doing more of.
Yes. And I don't know, but I gather he was a good family man and, had kids
absolutely.
And everything else.
Yeah.
And when you think about, I mean, obviously none of us would shoot anybody, over their politics or much of anything else. But when you think about it, and, I got into this in the column, but you're not only shooting Charlie Kirk, whom you may find hateful or whom has said hateful things about you or your group. You're destroying his kids, in a sense.
Of course.
And his wife and
absolutely.
Others. And it just, that kind of violence just has no place.
Of course.
You're taking a direct shot at democracy itself, at this idea that we have as a country that we can disagree. And we've even set up our politics to be like that, to say we have two or three or more sides to any given issue, and we're supposed to debate those things, and we're supposed to find common ground to the greatest extent possible. Yeah. We're supposed to do that.
Our ideal is the Vermont or New Hampshire town hall, and can you imagine somebody walking? Some farmer walks in and shoots a shoemaker, because they disagreed on where to put the church.
Well, unfortunately, now we can imagine that. It wasn't too long ago.
But your point is right. It ain't. It's anti-democratic.
It's anti-democratic. But to maybe a larger point in terms of our politics, not so long ago, Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill used to have lunch once a week to discuss ways to move the country forward. Orrin Hatch and Teddy Kennedy used to craft legislation together, even though they were on extreme opposite sides of the aisle, because they knew that if they worked together, they could get both sides to vote in, or they could get a good debate and then get to a vote that they thought was going to have a positive outcome. And so we have slipped so far away from that, and it's almost tribal now. And it's sad if you have that perspective and that history, as the three of us all do.
One of the things I hear all the time about why people love Donald Trump, they say, well, he's authentic. And, one of the maybe phony things that our leaders used to do in the past was when somebody from the other side had something horrible, they would go out and say kind things. And maybe it was phony. Maybe in their hearts they didn't believe it. But universally, one after another, year after year after year, understood that that is part of this job.
I think they did. I mean, when you think about people whose politics you loathe in town here, people if their kid hits a home run, you're happy for them.
Yeah.
Or if some bad thing happens to them, you're sad for them.
But I guess that you're talking about overall. And I'm putting this all on one person. I really am, because that is so discordant. He goes on Fox News, and they desperately try to get him to say the right thing.
And he won't.
And his answer was, I don't care about that.
He's playing the role he's playing. And he obviously has exacerbated the problem that Jess just described, that we're basically rooting for different sides the way you root for Ohio State or Michigan or whatever it may be.
We are.
And they can do no wrong, and the other side can do no right.
And keeping score based on grievance.
But he didn't create that. That's part of, I'm no expert. I don't know what's causing it. I think the internet has something to do with it because it removes us.
No, of course it does.
Yeah.
Of course it does.
Well, to say something stupid.
Well, no, I mean, because instead of doing what we're doing now, where I'm looking you in the face and seeing your reaction, and if I say something that you disagree with, I know immediately. And no, you don't get any of that on the internet. You get hot takes. Who gets to have the hottest take?
And you get keyboard warriors who never look one another in the eye.
That's exactly right.
So that's a factor. I think greed is a factor.
Yes.
And, the politics. Anyway, it'd be an interesting.
Spencer Cox came up. I don't know if he came up. The first time I heard of it. Conflict entrepreneurs. People who are getting rich on this stuff.
Yeah.
They are.
Which Charlie Kirk probably did. But he still doesn't deserve to be. I almost used impolite words you can't say on radio. But he doesn't deserve to be blank, blank shot.
No.
Absolutely.
No.
In other news, we miss Robert Redford.
What a loss. And such great ties to the state of New Mexico.
And to the whole Rocky Mountain West, really.
Yeah, he was a real Westerner.
Yeah.
Really cared about the West and the people and the ecology, the environment.
Yeah.
My best friend's wife, I used to live in Taos. I was the editor of the paper up there. And she went to the Taos Inn one day, just up to the bar, and she's a very social butterfly, and there was a guy in there in a cowboy hat, and she walked up to him, sat down, and said, "Hi, my name's Beth." And he tipped his hat, and he said, "I'm Bob. How are you?" And she realized who she was talking to in that moment. And I've never seen Beth starstruck, but when she tells that story, you can tell she almost lost her stuff because she was talking to Robert Redford.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was in the paper this morning, there was a quote from, I guess, his publicist or someone who said, he frequently would say in an interview, "I'm tired of talking about myself. Tell me about you." And there's a genuineness about that that I just find endearing.
You know what I thought was interesting was his first Oscar was not as an actor. It was as a director for Ordinary People.
Right.
Wow.
Because he was always conscious. He, obviously he knew he was born with a good looks gene.
Yeah.
And he knew that. And really, I think, was conscious his whole life of being not typecast, as making sure that he was more than that. And so the fact that his first Oscar came as a director, I thought was...
directed A River Runs Through It.
Yeah.
Which is just a brilliant film. And it stars, of course, Brad Pitt, another guy who was born with the good looks gene.
That's right.
And for Robert Redford to direct that film instead of star in it, just magnanimous.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yep. We're getting old, but he had a wonderful life.
He did, 89 years.
Sleep, so what more could you want?
That's a good way to go.
Indeed. We're going to talk, starting in about 5 minutes, we're going to talk about the Jupiter project, which has engendered...
Project Jupiter. You always get that backwards.
Oh.
Make it sound like we're taking a trip to the other planet.
Yeah, it does. I hadn't, I have heard that. I hadn't picked up on the necessary order in which to say things.
Heath Hosseman has done some excellent reporting about Project Jupiter, and everything I know about it has come from what he's written and the documents that he's gotten out of people and out of the different local governments, including the non-disclosure agreements, which I found very interesting.
Yeah, we'll talk. We have our friend and county commissioner, Shannon Reynolds, is in the house, so we'll ask him about that, certainly from the Inspection of Public Records and Journalists standpoint that we all come from, although you were on the dark side for a while.
It was not on the dark side. We were all in the information business.
You even called me a liar once when you were wrong. But you didn't know. Anyway, a non-disclosure agreement is an agreement where the county, or they're more used in private enterprise, but where the county is not going to disclose confidential
proprietary information. Sure.
Trade secrets really right. is yeah. all they're allowed to protect. But it's an operative agreement, like saying the county's going to, you know, have a skating rink or, you know, do flood control. And it obligates the county. It's a public document inherently. And these people told Keith he couldn't have it. And then they said, well, we want to redact the trade secrets. Well, first of all, as a former lawyer, I've gone inactive. I think somebody who put the trade secrets in an agreement like that might lose the protection of them. That would be arguable in court. But one thing that's not arguable is that thing is a public document. Redact the trade secrets. Well, there weren't any that were even close enough to actual. So that was sort of, you know, I fear that despite a lot of public shows, discussions that they have had, which is good, they've really tried to slow down the sharing of information that we might care about.
Well, and we need to wrap this up quickly, but we haven't said yet, I don't think, that they are planning to vote on this Friday.
Yes.
I mean, that is the current plans. And so when you talk about they're trying to slow down getting right. information out, they are certainly not slowing down the process of trying to ram
no.
this thing
and
through.
I don't know if you saw it, but the latest news is the town of, not Santa Teresa,
Sunland Park
voted unanimously, yeah. you know, their city council voted unanimously to ask for delay, which is another thing we can mention in that discussion. What else do we want to mention to folks?
Well, historically, Doñana County and Sunland Park have been a bit contentious with one another, so that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, yeah, and the whole CRUA thing was sort of a shotgun marriage, I think, that ended up badly.
Well, the League of Women Voters have also asked for delay. I've asked for delay.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what Commissioner Reynolds has to say about it.
I've got a story about Heath. Can I tell it real quick?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so when I was covering a legislature during the Bill Richardson administration, Heath was working from Las Cruces doing his blog, and there was the big thing going on where they were going to overthrow Ben Lujan. Ben Lujan was a Speaker of the House forever, the father of Ben Ray Lujan, and he had done this kind of shady thing where he had shifted money to his district, mm-hmm. and Joseph Cervantes, who was in the House at that time, led this coup attempt where they were going to try to mm-hmm. get him out as Speaker. And they had this big meeting in the roundhouse, one of the meeting rooms, and the whole Capitol Press Corps is waiting outside to see what happens. And they meet for about 45 minutes, and they come out and they go to the bathroom, and what's happened? And they won't tell us a thing. They go back into the meeting room, and they're there for about 5 minutes when Steve Terrell from the Santa Fe New Mexican gets a text saying that they have decided to leave him in as Speaker. And they come out 15 minutes later and tell us that what had happened was he got a phone call when they all went to a break. Heath got a phone call from Mary Helen Garcia. He was the first to break the story from Las Cruces while the entire press corps was waiting outside the door.
Before we're going to go to break in about 30 seconds, but let me use that 30 seconds to tell folks who may not know whom we're talking about. Heath Houseman, he did have I talked with him about buying it when he retired from doing it, but he had an online news
I forget what it was called.
Thing. I don't remember what it was called. It was very good. He himself is more middle of the road, not as far left as I am or crazy as I am, but you know, he did it well. And he's just recently, and he's had health problems, including COVID. So if he doesn't come visit you when you ask, you'll understand. But he has started a new, you know, it's at houseman.com, and he is doing really yeoman reporting,
he's doing really good work.
He is really doing what diligent reporters ought to be doing, and I know I'm going to contribute because nobody's paying him to do that.
He's doing it on his own, and I called him last week and said, we got to have lunch. I need to write you a check.
Well, I don't know if he can have a look. He's shy about going public places because of the COVID.